Listen closely to the voice you're hearing right now.
Yeah, really pay attention to
Notice the pacing, the subtle breaths, the
it.
slight variations in pitch that tell your brain there's a living, breathing human on the other end of this audio.
Or at least that's what your brain thinks.
Exactly. Because what if I told you that in today's digital landscape, the rich, hypnotic voice of your favorite documentary narrator?
The one making you hang on every single word about, like, the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, that exact one. What if that voice might have been generated on a laptop in less than 60 seconds?
It completely upends our understanding of media, doesn't it?
Completely.
We have this romanticized image of the golden-voiced narrator, right? Standing in a dimly lit multi-million-dollar recording booth.
Sipping some hot tea with lemon.
Yeah, sipping hot tea, but the reality of production has fundamentally shifted.
And that shift is exactly what we are unpacking today. We're pulling from an incredibly detailed 2026 tutorial titled The Invisible Narrator: Mastering AI Voice Cloning in Production.
It's a fantastic source.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to decode how generative AI has evolved, far beyond just churning out text.
Yeah, it's not just chatbots anymore.
No, we're exploring a landscape where software can literally digitize vocal cords,
Yeah.
sculpting voices so hyper-realistic that even the original speaker's own family couldn't spot the fake.
Which is terrifying, but also amazing.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because more importantly, we're going through the exact blueprint of how creators are actually doing this right now.
And that is vital knowledge
Yeah.
because the tutorial points out this pretty brutal truth about modern content
Oh,
consumption.
a 5-second rule.
Exactly. You could have the most breathtaking cinematic 4K footage of a neon-lit cyberpunk city, but if your audio is thin or shaky or, sounds even slightly robotic,
Your audience is just gone.
gone. In 2026, audio carries half the weight of the entire viewing experience.
Wow.
Yeah, if the voiceover is bad, the metrics show that listeners will literally click away in under 5 seconds.
5 seconds to earn their trust.
Yep.
That means we can't just read off a list of software and pretend we solved the puzzle. To really master this, we have to start at the foundation.
The biology of it.
Right. Before we touch a single AI tool or move a slider, we have to understand the physics of sound and human psychology. Because you can't prompt an AI if you don't know what makes a human voice compelling in the first place.
And it almost always begins with pacing.
Pacing, okay.
Think about a true documentary narrator. They are never in a rush.
No, they always sound so relaxed.
Right. They understand that the visuals are doing the heavy lifting and the voice is just acting as a guide. But the biggest mistake amateurs make when they get their hands on these AI tools is
Just feeding it everything it wants.
exactly. They feed a massive, unbroken block of text into the prompt box.
Which creates that terrible machine gun effect.
Oh, it's the worst.
Just a relentless wall of words firing at you without any room to breathe.
It's exhausting to listen to. But when you study legends of narration, someone like David Attenborough,
Oh, the goat.
the absolute goat, they weaponize silence, they let the pause do the work.
Right.
In a script, that pause is just normally it's an ellipsis, but when the narrator says the lion approaches,
Yeah.
it's that 3 seconds of silence that actually makes the audience hold their breath. The tension lives in the space between the words.
It's the pause, sure, but it's also the dynamic range, right? Like, human speech isn't a flat line.
No, not at all.
The source material uses a really brilliant comparison here. If the script is describing a cheetah sprinting after its prey, the vocal delivery needs to be, sharp, tense, elevated.
Right.
But if the very next scene transitions to describing the slow death of a star in a distant galaxy, the voice has to completely shift gears.
It has to match the scale.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
needs to drop into this deep, low, philosophical register.
And older AI models failed spectacularly at that.
They were just notoriously monotone.
Because they only processed the phonetic sounds. They didn't know what they were saying. But the next generation 2026 tools we're looking at, they're built with semantic context.
Meaning they actually read the script.
They actually analyze the meaning of the underlying text, yeah. The neural network understands the emotional difference between a cheetah hunting and a star dying.
So it knows when to whisper and when to shout.
Precisely.
Which brings us to the actual sound waves.
Huh.
If we want an audience to trust the information being delivered, how do these AI companies mathematically manufacture that feeling of authority?
Well, it all comes down to a very specific target. Audio engineers have actually known this for decades.
Okay.
There is a sweet spot in the human vocal range. It sits between 80 and 150 hertz.
80 and 150 hertz.
Yeah. It's that resonant, low-end rumble. Think of the classic Morgan Freeman voice.
Oh, yeah. I think of it as the bass drop of human trust.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
But why are our brains so hardwired to respond to that specific low-end frequency?
What's fascinating here is it's pure evolutionary psychology.
Really?
Yeah. Historically, throughout human evolution, deeper voices typically emanated from larger bodies.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. So that low resonance acted as a primal signal. To the human brain, it subconsciously communicates leadership, physical presence, or even, you know, a potential threat.
It signals power.
Exactly. Power and gravity. And that biological quirk is exactly why professional studios and radio stations will intentionally boost that 80 to 150 hertz range on their microphones.
Wow. They're essentially hacking our biology to manufacture authority.
They really are.
So knowing that we're targeting that 80 to 150 hertz range and knowing we need dynamic pacing, let's look at how the 2026 tech landscape actually builds this.
Let's do it.
The tutorial highlights two major heavyweights. There's 11 Labs, which kind of operates as the premium commercial king.
That's the big player, yeah.
And then there's Open Voice version 2, which acts more like an open source surgical tool. Let's start with 11 Labs.
Sure.
They dropped their V3 model in February 2026, and the specs on this thing are just staggering.
It really has cemented itself as the undisputed leader for commercial text-to-speech. V3 introduced something called audio tags, which fundamentally changed how creators interact with the software.
How so?
Well, instead of hoping the AI guesses the right emotion, you can write explicit commands directly in line.
Like typing it out?
Yeah. You literally type a bracket, the word whispers, and a close bracket right before a sentence. And the AI just seamlessly drops its volume and adds breathiness.
That's wild.
And it does this across over 70 languages, including incredibly complex tonal languages like Persian and Arabic with near flawless pronunciation.
And for developers building interactive platforms like AI voice agents for customer service or gaming, they released Flash V2.5.
Right, the low latency model.
Yeah. Yeah. The key metric there is latency, which they've pushed down to just 75 milliseconds.
Which is a critical number to understand. 75 milliseconds is faster than the blink of a human eye.
Literally.
It sits below the threshold of human perception for a delay. So when an AI can hear you, process a response, and speak back in 75 milliseconds, it no longer feels like interacting with a computer.
It feels like a living, breathing entity on the other end of the line.
Exactly.
But the feature most creators are really chasing is the voice cloning.
Oh, absolutely.
11 Labs offers two tiers for this. There's instant voice cloning, where you just upload a 1 to 3 minute sample and you have a usable digital clone in seconds.
And that's usually the go-to for, like, daily YouTube creators.
Right. But then there's professional voice cloning.
Yeah.
And that requires 30 minutes to 3 hours of incredibly clean, studio-grade audio.
Yeah, it takes the system a few hours to train on that much data.
But the result is that hyper-realistic, indistinguishable perfection used for high-end audiobooks and, you know, global brand campaigns.
So that's the premium ecosystem. But then you have Open Voice V2, which is an entirely different philosophy.
Yeah, this is where I need some clarity. Because Open Voice is an MIT-licensed, completely free tool. First of all, what does MIT licensed actually mean for a creator?
Oh, MIT licensed simply means it's free for commercial use.
Completely free.
Yeah. You can take their code, build a multi-million dollar business on top of it, modify it however you want, and you don't owe them a dime in royalties.
That freedom is huge.
It is.
But to answer my second point, if 11 Labs is the premium standard that sounds perfect, why would anyone go through the steep learning curve of using an open source alternative?
That is the big question. Creators go through the hassle of Open Voice because of its unique two-stage architecture.
Okay, break that down.
Most AI models treat a voice as one single blended thing. But Open Voice literally splits human speech into two distinct mathematical streams.
Two streams.
The first stream is the content. So the phonemes, the grammar, the actual words being formed.
Okay.
And the second stream is the tone color. That's the timbre, the pitch, the unique physical resonance of the person's vocal cords.
Wait, so it completely decouples the script of what is being said from the biological texture of who is saying it.
Precisely. Think of it like separating the sheet music from the instrument.
Oh, wow.
Once you separate the two, you can do things that are impossible on other platforms. You unlock true cross-lingual voice cloning without needing to train the AI on new language datasets.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. You could take a 3-second voice sample of a Japanese anime character and apply their exact tone color to a stream of content that is fluent Persian or French or English.
No way!
Yeah, the character suddenly speaks a new language flawlessly, but retaining their exact, unique vocal texture.
That is wild. And because you separated the tone from the content, you get granular control over the emotion, too.
Oh, definitely.
Like tutorial notes, Open Voice has 8 explicit emotional modes. You know, cheerful, terrified, whispering, shouting, and so on. If you're an indie game developer with dozens of non-playable characters, being able to generate a terrified yell or a cheerful greeting from just a 3-second reference sample completely for free, I mean, that changes the entire budget of your game.
It really does. However, the source does note one caveat here.
What's that?
The raw phonetic accuracy of Open Voice in non-English languages isn't quite as flawless as 11 Labs just yet.
Oh, good.
But the author of the tutorial outlines a really brilliant workaround for this.
The non-English hack.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
It's so smart.
Okay, so if you want to create a flawless Persian voiceover, you don't actually start in Open Voice. You generate your base text using Microsoft Edge TTS.
Right.
Because Microsoft's text-to-speech is free, and its phonetic pronunciation of complex languages is incredibly accurate.
But it sounds like a boring robot.
Exactly. It sounds terrible.
Yeah.
So you take that highly accurate, robotic Microsoft audio file, and you find a 3-second sample of a premium narrator you love. You bring both files into a platform called MyShell.ai, which utilizes the Open Voice architecture. You tell the system to use the Microsoft file for the content stream and the narrator for the tone color stream.
And it merges them.
Yeah. The software surgically paints the premium narrator's beautiful vocal texture right over the flawless Microsoft pronunciation.
It's an incredibly clever pipeline. You get the corporate engineering accuracy of Microsoft combined with the artistic beauty of a custom voice clone.
Best of both worlds.
Exactly. But whether a creator chooses the premium path of 11 Labs or, you know, the surgical path of Open Voice, picking the software is really just the starting line.
Right. Because the biggest trap creators fall into is booting up this powerful software, pasting their script, and then just leaving all the generation sliders on the default settings.
Oh, it happens all the time.
You have to know how to direct the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with the golden rule of samples. AI mimics delivery, not just biological sound.
That is a critical distinction. If you feed the AI a 1-minute sample of someone screaming with excitement at a football game, it doesn't just clone their vocal cords. It assumes the emotion in that sample is the baseline for everything.
Right. It doesn't know any better.
So when you ask it to narrate a calm documentary about a migrating whale, your AI narrator is going to sound like they're calling a touchdown pass.
It fundamentally misunderstands the assignment.
Totally.
The pro tip from the source is to record yourself or find a sample where the speaker is calm, slow, and highly articulate.
Neutral.
Yeah. Sitting down with a decent microphone and simply reading a Wikipedia article about quantum mechanics in a steady voice provides the absolute best, cleanest data.
It gives the neural network a neutral, flexible canvas to work from.
Exactly. And once you have that pristine sample, you have to navigate the generation sliders.
The sliders are where the magic happens.
You generally want the similarity slider around 75%. Silent exaggeration is a bit dangerous, though, right?
Yeah, pushing it too high causes audio artifacts, like weird, glitchy sounds. So you keep it low, around 10 to 15%.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The most important dial on the entire dashboard is the stability slider.
And this is the paradox of AI audio.
Right, because to make a robotic system sound more like a living, breathing human, you actually have to instruct the machine to be less stable.
It sounds completely counterintuitive.
It really does.
But think about it mathematically. If you crank the stability setting all the way up to 100%, the AI delivers a perfectly stable, mathematically flawless performance.
Every syllable is perfect.
Every syllable is struck with exact precision. There are zero errors. And because of that perfection, it sounds completely dead.
It lacks the chaos of life.
Exactly. By intentionally dialing that stability down to, say, 40 or 50%, you invite human imperfection into the render.
The good kind of mistakes.
Yeah. You get the subtle, unsteady intakes of breath. You get the slight vocal fry trailing off at the end of a long sentence, you get tiny, unscripted variations in pitch.
It's the flaws that convince our ears the voice is real.
Yep.
And you combine those intentional imperfections with how you format the text. The tutorial stresses that you must stop treating punctuation as grammar.
Yes.
And start treating it as musical notation for the AI engine.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, a comma isn't just separating clauses, it forces the AI to take a micro pause. A dash acts as a hard break or a sudden shift in thought.
Right. A paragraph with no punctuation yields a monotone robot.
But a script heavily directed with commas and dashes creates a storyteller.
But even with masterful slider settings and perfect punctuation, there is one feature that outshines everything else when it comes to capturing authentic emotion.
Oh, speech-to-speech technology.
Yes.
This blew my mind. With speech-to-speech, you don't type a prompt at all.
Not at all.
You just hold your phone up and act out the script yourself.
Yeah.
You perform the dramatic pauses. You provide the sarcastic emphasis. You put the emotion into the microphone.
You're acting.
Yeah. Then the AI analyzes your audio file and simply replaces your amateur tone color with the rich resonance of the professional voice clone.
It highlights a real limitation of text, because no matter how many brackets or commas you use, a text prompt will never be able to perfectly replicate human comedic timing.
No, it's impossible.
Or the subtle inflection of dramatic irony. With speech-to-speech, the creator is both the director and the lead actor.
And the AI is just... what?
The AI is reduced to being a highly advanced makeup artist. It's simply applying a fresh coat of vocal paint over your genuine human performance.
Wow. Okay, so let's say we have our biological target in mind. We've utilized the open source surgery to build a voice. We've tweaked our sliders to 45% stability, and we've generated our audio file.
Oh, okay.
We're finished, right? We just upload the raw file to YouTube.
If you do that, your audience will be gone in those first 5 seconds.
Let's do it.
Yes. This is the exact step that 90% of amateur creators skip. Even the absolute best AI platforms output audio that sounds dry, flat, and digitally sterile.
Like, it has no life to it.
It sounds like someone talking in a tiled bathroom. To bridge the gap between an amateur podcast and a cinematic BBC documentary, you have to take that raw file into the audio surgery lab.
The virtual studio. The tutorial lays out a meticulous four-step post-production polish using standard software like Audacity or Adobe Audition.
Right.
Step one is declicking and de-essing. AI generation has a bad habit of leaving behind tiny digital clicks or producing incredibly harsh, piercing S sounds, which audio engineers call sibilance.
And those harsh frequencies cause listener fatigue.
Nobody wants to listen to that for 20 minutes.
Exactly. So a de-esser plugin acts like an automatic volume knob that only turns down those specific piercing S sounds. It smooths out the track so it doesn't physically hurt the listener's ear over time.
Step two is the parametric EQ, which the tutorial refers to as the voice of God recipe.
I love that name.
It's so good. This is where we carve the sound wave. You apply a high-pass filter to cut out every sound below 80 hertz. Then you boost the frequencies between 100 and 200 hertz, but plus 2 to plus 3 decibels. And finally, you add a slight plus 1 decibel bump up around 3,000 to 5,000 hertz.
Right.
Explain the mechanics of this to me, like why these specific numbers?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, every move has a psychological purpose.
Okay.
When you cut everything below 80 hertz, you're removing the useless, muddy rumble. You know, things like air conditioner hum or digital artifacting.
It cleans the canvas.
Exactly. Then you boost that 100 to 200 hertz range.
The Morgan Freeman zone.
The Morgan Freeman zone. By boosting it 3 decibels, you are artificially injecting warmth, weight, and subconscious authority into the voice.
Wow.
And finally, that subtle boost at 3,000 to 5,000 hertz, that targets the crispness of consonants. It ensures the words punch clearly through the mix.
So you're literally sculpting the frequencies to trigger the brain's recognition of premium quality.
You're hacking the brain again.
It's incredible. Okay, step three is compression, which they call the glue. The source recommends a compression ratio of 3.1 or 4.1. But rather than just throwing those numbers around, let's break down what compression actually does to the sound wave.
Think of an audio compressor exactly like a shock absorber on a car.
Okay, shock absorber.
If you're driving on a flat road, the shock absorber doesn't do much. But if you hit a massive pothole, or in audio terms, if the narrator suddenly yells and the volume spikes,
right,
the compressor catches that massive spike and gently pushes it down.
So it softens the blow.
Exactly. A 4.1 ratio means for every 4 decibels the voice goes over your limit, the software only allows 1 decibel to pass through. It squashes the loudest parts and brings up the quietest whispers,
creating a perfectly smooth, even ride for the listener.
And it ensures the voice always sits perfectly above the background music.
And step 4 completes the illusion. Reverb.
Ha.
Because in the real world, nobody speaks in an absolute vacuum.
Right, there's always bounce.
You add a very subtle 5 to 10% wet reverb on a small room or studio setting. It gives the digital voice physical space.
And if a creator wants to get really advanced, the tutorial breaks down a classic Hollywood trailer trick.
Well, the layering trick.
Yes. You don't just use one audio track. You take your beautifully EQ'd, compressed voice, and you duplicate it.
Two identical tracks.
Right. The main layer sits up front, loud and clear. But on that duplicated background layer, you drop the volume way down and crank the reverb extremely high.
Like echoing.
Yeah, it acts like a distant, ghostly echo trailing behind the main voice. It creates this massive sense of cinematic depth that makes the narrator sound larger than life.
It's amazing how much control sits right on a laptop. But wielding this level of control brings us to the final and perhaps most critical part of this deep dive.
The realities of using this stuff.
Yeah, because in 2026, the financial and legal realities of cloning human voices are intense. The tutorial drops a statistic that puts this into perspective.
It's a big number.
As of May 2026, over 50% of faceless YouTube channels with more than 100,000 subscribers are relying entirely on these AI voice tools.
Half of them.
And those channels are generating average ad revenues of $3,000 to $15,000 a month.
The economic upside for independent creators is just staggering.
It really is. So what does this all mean for the industry?
Well, because the financial stakes are so high, the guardrails surrounding the technology have become incredibly strict. The source material is very explicit about digital liability.
Like legal trouble.
Big legal trouble. First and foremost, consent is mandatory. Cloning the voice of a private citizen without their written permission is a severe privacy violation.
Obviously.
Furthermore, deploying these tools to create deepfakes, you know, manipulating a public figure's voice to say things they never said, that has crossed the line into criminal liability.
So you can't just make the president say whatever you want?
No, definitely not. Platforms also strictly mandate transparency. Creators must include disclaimers in their descriptions, noting that the audio is synthetic.
But how do the platforms actually enforce that? I mean, if the technology has reached a point where the voice is mathematically indistinguishable from a human, how do they prove it's AI?
Through audio watermarking.
Okay.
Companies like 11 Labs embed an inaudible digital watermark into every single second of audio their servers generate.
Wait, how does a watermark exist in an audio file without the listener hearing? Like a constant digital beep?
It uses acoustic steganography.
Steganography.
Yeah. The system hides a digital signature within the extremely high or low frequencies of the audio file, frequencies that human ears simply cannot detect.
Oh, why?
Or they do it by making microscopic phase shifts in the sound wave itself. You can chop up the audio, compress it, add music over it, and the watermark survives.
That's incredibly resilient.
It is. The human ear hears a pristine documentary narrator, but a detection algorithm can scan the file and instantly trace the exact account, time, and server that generated the clone.
So if someone uses the tool for fraud, they leave an indelible digital fingerprint behind.
Exactly. And that infrastructure is why in February 2026, 11 Labs received the AIUC1 certification.
This raises an important question, though. What does that certification actually do?
That certification is the true watershed moment for this industry. AIUC1 means they became the first AI voice platform that major corporations, news outlets, and government organizations could legally insure.
Oh, so it's about insurance.
It's always about insurance. It signals that generative audio has officially graduated. It's no longer a chaotic hacker's toy. It's a regulated, insurable corporate utility, just like cloud storage or word processing.
It shifts the entire foundation of digital media.
Completely.
So let's retrace our steps here. We began by uncovering the biology of trust, learning how that 80 to 150 hertz rumble physically affects the listener.
The Morgan Freeman zone.
We navigated the 2026 software landscape, comparing the 75 millisecond latency of 11 Labs with the open source tone decoupling surgery of OpenVoice V2.
We learned that the secret to directing an AI is dialing down the stability to invite human imperfection.
And using commas and dashes as musical notation. We stepped into the audio surgery lab, physically carving out frequencies with a voice of God EQ and smoothing the ride with compression.
And finally, we looked at the economic realities and the inaudible watermarks that keep this powerful technology insured and accountable.
It provides a massive, comprehensive roadmap for anyone looking to achieve top-tier cinematic audio production right from their bedroom.
It really does.
But tracing that roadmap leaves us with one incredibly provocative thought to chew on.
Oh, what's that?
When we discussed speech-to-speech technology, we noted that the AI only requires a 3-second sample to perfectly map a person's tone color.
Right.
Meanwhile, you, the creator, provide the pacing, the dramatic pauses, the sarcasm, and the emotional weight through your own physical performance.
You're the actor.
It begs the question.
Yeah.
Are we entering an era where voice acting is completely decoupled from the physical voice?
Oh, wow. It completely fractures our traditional definition of a performance.
Just imagine a future, maybe only a year or two away, where a major animation studio doesn't hire a famous celebrity for their acting skills. They simply pay a licensing fee for the digital right to use that celebrity's tone color.
Just their voice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a completely unknown, uncredited theater actor sitting in a small bedroom somewhere is the one who actually acts out all the lines, providing the entire emotional wireframe for the AI to paint over.
That is wild to think about.
In that scenario, who is the true artist? Is it the celebrity who owns the famous vocal cords, or the unknown actor who actually breathes life and emotion into the scene?
That tension between the biological instrument and the invisible player is going to define the next decade of entertainment, law, and art.
It certainly makes you reconsider everything you hear.
Absolutely.
The next time you are mesmerized by a documentary narrator, ask yourself who is actually pulling the strings. Your homework for today is to experience this firsthand.
Go try it.
Log into one of these platforms, pull a paragraph from a book you love. Push the stability up to 100% and listen to the robot. Then drop it to 40% and listen for the ghost in the machine.
Make mistakes, learn the slider.
And find your own invisible narrator. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.